Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Final Locked On Grizzlies before the All-Star game. We're going to look at some trade scenarios that you sent in. We're going to do a bit of a deep dive into the Grizzlies' offense so far. And I'll give you my thoughts on the strangest controversy of the year so far, Chan Kuhn. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everybody. Welcome in to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Happy to be with you in this edition of Locked On Grizzlies. It is presented by our friends at SeatGeek, promo code LOGrizzlies. Thanks to those of you supporting the pod by using the SeatGeek app. Let me tell you, I'm excited because this is the final show before the All-Star break. And we got a lot to get into. Got a very busy show coming your way. Now, before we get into the trade scenarios that you guys sent in, before we get into the statistical deep dive, we did this earlier in the season, into the Grizzlies' offense so far, I want to address this Chan Kuhn business. For those that didn't see, it was Chandler Parsons this morning. Well, not this morning, I guess. Yesterday morning. I don't know. It depends on what time you're listening to this. I'm taping it like right on the edge of Thursday night / Friday morning. But anyway, early Thursday, right after the game Wednesday, disappointing loss for the Grizzlies. Chandler Parsons had a very disappointing season thus far, lots of injuries. And my man posts on Instagram a big group shot of everyone about to plow onto a private plane, head to Cancun, and everyone's wearing the shirts and hats and such that say Chan Kuhn. You know, I'll say this. Number one, I'm not going to begrudge Chandler Parsons his opportunity to be Chandler Parsons. This dude is clearly feeling it, living every minute of being Chandler. Not afraid to go out on the town, not afraid to have some fun. You know, he's a very wealthy young man who has no encumbrances to speak of. So, what the hell? Now I get the perception. And it, the optics of it look terrible. And I'll be honest with you. Even if you give me a free trip down to Cancun and a plane and the whole deal, if I've got to wear a Chan Kuhn hat or shirt, I'm not doing it. Count me out. Pass. Not happening. So that aside, and I've been pretty hard on Chandler Parsons this year. It's not really his fault per se. It's just, you know, he's obviously still damaged goods. But at the end of the day, man, you know, it's gonna look bad when you've had the kind of season that he's had, when you've had the inability to get going that he's had, when you've had the injury problems that he's had, when you've been unable to live up to anything close to your contract, barely living up to a guy making league minimum, then yeah, you're gonna get flack. But lay off the guy. The dude's on vacation. He's kind of a cheese ball. He likes, you know, he's got money and friends and whatever, man. You would do the exact same thing. And, you know, if anything, you blame the Grizzlies for paying him that kind of money. If anything, you blame them for not doing proper diligence or not taking the risk into account or not managing that properly. You blame them. You knew what kind of dude. This is the guy that signed his contract with the Mavericks, you know, with Mark Cuban in the club at 12:01 a.m. getting hammered. Did you think that he was going to all of a sudden show a tremendous amount of restraint? Come on, man. especially when you give him, you know, $94 million. We got to be real. The dude's living. It's what he's going to do. You knew that when you signed him. Why expect him to change because you gave him a bunch of money? I mean, this is the way it works. People are what they are, especially at this point in their career. So you give him a bunch of money. That's the guy that you're getting. Like it, don't like it, whatever. That's the guy you're getting. And by the way, most people don't like it. I'm not into hashtag Chan Coon. I hope they have a hell of a good time. But lay off the guy. Lay off the guy. At least for the vacation part of it. I mean, feel free to lay into him for basketball-related stuff. That's fine. Lay off him for Chan Coon. Other than the fact that it's a completely cheeseball hashtag and all that stuff. That I can tell you for sure. What's not cheeseball is SeatGeek. SeatGeek, baby. SeatGeek makes it so easy. SeatGeek makes it so simple. Oh, man. Life is simple when you've got $94 million. Most of us don't, though. So we want to keep most of that money in our pocket. Don't want to spend a lot of money on tickets, but want to get great seats. Want to feel like a VIP. Want to feel like you're getting the best bang for your buck. That's where SeatGeek comes in. You don't have to spend a bunch of time going through 8, 9, 10, 11 different auction sites, ticket sites, what's going on, where are they, where's these seats, where they, that just takes up too much time. Even if you find a good deal, scouring through all those sites, it's taking you a long time, time you probably don't have and certainly don't want to spend doing all that. Let SeatGeek do all that for you. They've got that great app, super easy. Put it on your phone and it will save you time and money. Super simple. Download it, whether you've got Android or iOS, doesn't matter. You use the app. Look for whatever concert you want to go to, whatever game you want to go to. No problem. You can see what their proprietary software, the ability to look through and see what the ticket looks like, what the price looks like, where it's going to be, and you can compare it across the market so you can see whether it's a good deal based on all the sites. It'll show up green. That means, boom, great deal. And you're getting the best bang for your buck. And you can see maybe if it's not the best deal. So you want to wait a little bit or you want to try a different section or a different part of the stadium or if it's a show, maybe a different show. You have all those options with the SeatGeek app. It's super, super easy. So what I want you to do, download the SeatGeek app and then put in promo code LOGrizzlies. You want to support the podcast? That's a great way to do it. You want to buy something from SeatGeek, you want to use that. It's a great way to support the podcast. But here's the deal. You use promo code LOGrizzlies, it's going to save you $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. So you're saving money, you're helping the podcast, you're helping SeatGeek know that you came from us, which is great. We really appreciate that. Again, LOGrizzlies, that is the promo code, LOGrizzlies. Go to SeatGeek and get the app. You will love it. Once you start using it, you will know of no other way to get the best tickets at the best prices. Guaranteed, they do that. SeatGeek, get the app, promo code LOGrizzlies. Okay, let's look at some trade proposals that you guys sent in. I asked for this, and you guys, as always, really come through with some great stuff. I appreciate it. On Twitter, on Thursday, I asked and said, can you send me, we're talking trades. We'll be talking trades over the next few editions of the pod going into next week. Matt Herdlicka is going to join us to talk more specifics about trades and what the Grizzlies should be thinking about. But I wanted to just kind of see what you guys could do. Send me some shots, some screenshots. You know, throw this thing in the actual ESPN trade machine. Make sure that it works. And let's see what we can do. Let's have some fun with it. Yeah, I don't like the proposals where we don't take that into account. You got to take that into account. You got to take the salaries. You got to be able to get it to a CBA approved trade. But if you can and it's plausible, then I want to go over it and talk about it. So we're going to do that. I think the thing with the trade deadline, as we talked about yesterday, I just think. You can upgrade on Tony Douglas. You can upgrade Andrew Harrison, whatever you want to say. That backup point guard position, you can upgrade from a combo, you know, get a better combo, whatever you need to do. But you need to get better at that position because it's right now it's a problem. And a lot of fans in Memphis tend to overrate the guy that comes in to fill the role, the Tony Douglas type guy. You know, I like Tony Douglas, but a lot of people tend to really push that these guys are better than they are. And that you're talking about a guy that's filling a role in doing it as well as he can and doing it in a good way. But that doesn't mean that he's, you know, the best player you could get. Doesn't mean that he's, you know, top of the line or anything like that. Doesn't mean you couldn't upgrade. You can, and you probably should be looking for that. And I would imagine that the Grizzlies are. I think the Grizzlies could also use another shooter. That would certainly help. You know, there's still times they get bogged down. And I think, you know, finding a little clarity from the rotations would be nice too. You know, that is something we'll get into more next week. But, you know, kind of just solidifying the way these rotations are going to look, that would be helpful. And having, you know, better players in some of those roles would make that a little easier. So with that, that's kind of where we're at when it comes to what the Grizzlies are looking for, at least in my mind. But I threw that out to you, and I want to know what you thought about what the Grizzlies were looking for. And so right out of the gate, my man Eli at EJKey91 sends me the trade proposal of Chandler Parsons for a Sears washing machine. Somebody else wanted to know if the washing machine had two working legs. Good question. The money is not quite equal on that washing machine versus Chandler. Maybe Sears has got more cap space. They'd create a hell of a trade exception in this deal. I love it. I love it for Sears. But I really like it for the Grizzlies, too. Can always use an extra one. $399 for the washing machine is what he's got that at. That, you know, I did some price matching on these washing machines. You know, if you're going to get one of those, it's going to be good enough to really get the nasty stains out of those basketball. You're going to have to go more than $399. You're going to have to go up closer to Chandler. Not quite $22 million, but still. Eli, thank you for your submission. Tremendous. Now, the actual submissions from the actual trade machine, starting with at Mr. Mandara, or Mandara, I hope I'm getting that right. One of those is going to be right, so in your mind, mentally erase the one that I got wrong. Mandara Designs says, right out of the gate, this trade was the first one I got, and I got it very quickly. He sent Tony Allen and Wade Baldwin to the Denver Nuggets in exchange for Will Barton and Mike Miller, his reasoning being more dynamic starting shooting guard with some Memphis flair, plus fan favorite who will ride the end of the bench. Denver gets a point guard to replace Emmanuel Mudiay. You know, I think it's a very interesting trade, and the fact that it came early on, I like it a lot. The idea that Denver would want Baldwin, I'm not so sure about that. But I do think getting rid of Will Barton, they've got so many young and semi-youngish type wings and players of that ilk that they need to kind of clear a few spots. And this might not be the worst idea to do it. And maybe they see something in Baldwin. I don't think Grizzlies are going to trade Baldwin. But I think they might. I mean, I think it's not totally out of the realm of possibility. I think that they would certainly consider something like this. Will Barton would be a terrific addition. I was looking up his synergy numbers, and he is one of the absolute best in the league in isolation plays. That's one thing that the Grizzlies, you know, you don't want a ton of those necessarily in your offense. That's usually not a great sign. But you do, especially when the postseason rolls around, you do need guys that can isolate. You do need guys that can do something when the whole thing breaks down. That is a valuable thing. We get so far, and I mean, I'm guilty of it too. You get so deep into the analytics side of it, into the analysis side of it, into the passing, into the this, that, and the other, that, you know, we think of isolation as a bad word. We think of isolation plays as strictly greedy, selfish type plays, when in actuality, if they're used properly and if they're used judiciously and if they are only deployed here and there, they are incredibly valuable to have in the playoffs. So many of those possessions don't end up working out the way you planned. To have a safety valve is nice, and Barton has been very good at that this year. Everyone would love to see Mike Miller come back. I'm okay with that trade. I think you're concerned, with Tony Allen's absence. You know, what does that do? Anytime that Tony Allen's name comes up, you know, you have to consider what his role is right now. It's kind of in flux. It's been a little bit in flux this year. I don't know that David Fizdale has the level of tolerance for some of the antics that we've seen from Tony that Dave Yeager had and Lionel Hollins had. I don't know. It doesn't seem as though he does. The leash has been a little shorter with Tony than we've seen in years past. Maybe he would trade him. Maybe the Grizzlies would trade him. I think it would help to mitigate the loss of Tony from a PR standpoint to bring in, you know, guys like Will Barton and Mike Miller. You couldn't bring in more popular guys from a purely Memphis standpoint. Mike is still beloved here, and so is Will Barton. So, yeah, that would, from that aspect of it, it would make sense. It makes sense, you know, cap-wise. As I say, I don't know that I would do that, but I like that trade. I like that as a fake trade a lot. Very similar deal offered by Alex at AKGoal1, who just strikes it down to Will Barton for Tony Allen. I don't think that Denver would do that, but, you know. Now, he also suggests Mario Hezonja from the Orlando Magic for Tony Allen. Again, I don't think the Magic would do that because, you know, in this case, they would be trying to probably get, most likely they would want a pick. You know, considering that Hezonja was a fifth pick in the 2013 draft, it has not worked out at all for them. But Hezonja, you know, as a guy that you spent that cost on, you can look at it and say it's a sunk cost. People will try to do that. But you can't take, you know, you can't really take that out of your mind, the pick that you spent on him. And to give that up for Tony Allen, you know, Tony's expiring contract, that would help, I guess. But I don't think that's primary in the Magic's goals for getting rid of Hezonja. Hezonja has not shot well, has not played well, has been a disappointment in his short career thus far. But, I think that if the Grizzlies could always use a shooter, and I do like Hezonja, but I like him more long-term, like way long-term, like he may have to go out of the NBA for a while and come back long-term. His confidence appears to be a bit shot. Those are the kinds of players, if the Grizzlies were to acquire them, when are they going to get playing time? You know, when is Hezonja going to get minutes? How is he going to get his confidence back? How is he going to get enough burn to actually start feeling good about a shot again? You know, if Troy Daniels can't get out there and play on a consistent basis and can't get consistent minutes and consistent looks when he's out there, and he's got more pedigree than Hezonja does, when's Hezonja going to get out there? If you were to trade for a guy like Hezonja, a shooter type, younger, you'd have to probably include Troy Daniels in that deal. Or maybe not specifically that deal, but another, you'd have to get rid of Troy Daniels, I think. That would just be a redundancy there that would not help you out. Alex also suggests Troy Daniels for Mario Hezonja as well. That makes, you know, that one would make more sense if Orlando wanted to get a guy for a couple more years and just have a little more salary surety. You know, that's Troy Daniels. He's got he's a little cheaper, he's locked in cost wise. you know what you're getting with him. I don't think that would appeal, especially to Orlando, but I could see, that logic. He also suggests Tony Allen and Andrew Harrison to the Timberwolves for Tyus Jones. We've talked a lot about Tyus Jones. I think he's a smart target. He's a guy that the Grizzlies should be looking at and should still theoretically want to bring in. I just don't know that the Timberwolves are willing to trade him at this point. They've really tried to trade Ricky Rubio. If they did, then it would be, Chris Dunn and Tyus Jones. So I'm guessing they're not going to want to trade Tyus Jones unless the deal is pretty good. This really wouldn't qualify to me as a especially good deal for Tyus Jones, Tony Allen, and Andrew Harrison. That doesn't, I don't think there's much there that the Timberwolves would have any interest in at all. I don't think they have any interest in Andrew Harrison. They don't need that. Even in that point guard spot, they'd probably just go get someone. And then Tony Allen, I don't know what he does for them, especially as they are, kind of drifting away from the playoffs. I don't really see. At Jay Carlock, my man Jay Carlock says, if only Melo saw the light, and he throws out a Melo deal, Carmelo Anthony, Justin Holiday, to the Grizzlies for Chandler Parsons, Wade Baldwin, and Jarrell Martin. If any organization would be willing to take Chandler Parsons at this point, it would be the Knicks. And maybe only the Knicks at this point. I'd love to see Carmelo in Memphis. I mean, that would be amazing. It's not happening, people. Please don't start that. No one needs to put that out there at all. That is 0.000% chance of happening. It will not happen. Not in a million billion years. But fun to think about. And the Grizzlies would have had it, but for Stu Jackson and the Otis Thorpe trade. Jay Carlock also throws out a three-team trade, which are a little trickier, a little bonus for the degree of difficulty. Sends out, from the Grizzlies' perspective, Tony Allen and Jarrell Martin. They go to the Celtics. Jonas Jerebko, James Young go to the Lakers. And Lou Williams comes to the Memphis Grizzlies. He is, to me, the guy that you would want to target at the high end of what you could probably get. I don't think that Tony Allen and Jarrell Martin are going to get you Lou Williams, even in a three-team trade where you can obscure and, try to, kind of pull the wool over somebody's eyes a little bit. I don't think there's any chance in the world that Tony Allen and Jarrell Martin get you Lou Williams. Lakers would need him. Now, if you could find a way to get into the Celtics in a three-team trade, the Celtics would have, I don't know that he would necessarily, I mean, they've got Avery Bradley. They don't desperately need Tony, but he could fill certain roles for them and would be back in Boston and would likely get a very, very big welcome. So that at least, that part of it is logical. Everything else, I'm not sold on it. I'll just put it that way. Not sold on that being plausible. And there are some second round picks as well that are thrown in there. My man Brandon C at Ball from Grace sends out the deal that a lot of Grizzly fans would chuckle at and would laugh and would like very much. Brandon Wright and Vince Carter for Courtney Lee. Bringing back C. Lee, a beloved figure in some circles of Grizz Nation, though. This doesn't really make any sense to me. Brandon Wright, and I mean, to a much lesser extent, Vince. But, Brandon Wright's got I think the path for him to succeed and to really be a game changer is very clear now with the Grizzlies. I mean, he's shown what he does, and he does it very well. Exactly what he does. And he does it exceptionally well. Dives to the basket, pick and roll, alley-oop, all those things. Pretty good defender. That's the book, and he could do it well. I don't know that they're going to be scrambling to trade Brandon at this point. But C. Lee, I think, would be interesting to have in this offense. I would like to see that. That is true. I'd like to see him get so many good looks that he can't help but make them. He would get a ton of them in this offense. There's no question. And he'd have to turn down a lot of them, which he probably would. He was a little shot shy, but couldn't help but make quite a few. Couldn't help but make quite a few if that were the case. Interesting trade. Interesting trade. Would welcome C. Lee back. Mark King, at King underscore producer, has an interesting one involving those same guys, Brandon Wright and Vince Carter, this time going to the Chicago Bulls in exchange for Nikola Mirotic and Michael Carter-Williams. Now, number one, you must know about me. I do not like Michael Carter-Williams at all. So I'm not going to be real impartial on this kind of thing. I think he'd be a bad acquisition all the way around. I like Mirotic. Less than zero interest in Michael Carter-Williams. Zero, zero, zero. So for me, it's a no dog. But, you know, if you could find some way to make that palatable, then okay. Mirotic I like. Mirotic I'm okay with. Mark also has another one involving Tyus Jones, very popular guy. Vince Carter, Jamichael Green, first appearance in one of these trades, and Andrew Harrison for Shabazz Muhammad and Tyus Jones. Now, this one is interesting. And, you know, including Jermichael makes it very interesting. The T-Wolves are a team that would make sense as far as, you know, long-term interest in him. And Jermichael, you know, had that huge game against them. That probably wouldn't hurt in their perception of him. You could see him playing and playing alongside Kat, certainly. I like that trade. I don't think the Timberwolves would do it, but maybe if they felt particularly strongly about Jermichael, you know, Shabazz Muhammad I think would struggle to fit into the Grizzlies setup because I think he really struggles to pass the ball. And you gotta pass. The Grizzlies do move the ball pretty well. You gotta be able to pass. He doesn't pass so well, but he's a talented guy, and I like Muhammad probably more than most, and more than these stats would indicate that I probably should. But he's kind of the opposite of Michael Carter-Williams. I just always have thought he's a player. Like I'm okay with having him on my team, even with his limitations. That's not the case for Michael Carter-Williams. Tyus Jones, excellent. Again, if they would trade for him, if they would actually move him, then fabulous. Go for it. Thumbs up. I'm still not convinced that they're wanting to actually do that at this stage. So, good stuff from you guys. Good trades, interesting trades, pretty plausible ones, which is hard to do. As I've told you, I'm not the world's greatest on this trade machine. I'm much better at critiquing other people's trades than coming up with any of my own. But I will try to do that for Monday. We talk with Matt Herdlicka, try to get some plausible, real ones to you guys, and we'll talk about it from there. But good stuff. Now let's deep dive into the Grizzlies' offense. Okay, now it's time to get deep into it. This is a little nerdy, like I said. We did this in the past, and it gets a lot of numbers, gets real into it, but I think it's a good kind of snapshot of where the Grizzlies are at going forward. I use Synergy numbers here to look at each play type And these are imperfect because, you know, this is charted by the folks at Synergy. They do a fabulous job. And they've got, you know, trained charters that do this, you know, by their own visuals. And everything is checked and double-checked and triple-checked. But sometimes stuff doesn't always, you know, perfectly characterize into a post move and all this. But it's a pretty darn good approximation. It's a pretty good analysis of what these teams and what you do and what you do well and how much you do and all that stuff. So I like to do that. They rank everything in terms of points per possession, which makes sense. I mean, you know, you get the possession. It ends in a certain play type. You average X number of points per possession, and overall, you know, you want to you want that number to be obviously as high as possible, but it gives you a chance to break it down and take the tempo out of it, so that you don't have to worry so much about pace obscuring what may or may not be the truth of what, you know, kind of offense you actually run and how effective it actually is. So from the Grizzlies' standpoint, on the overall play types, okay, well, first of all, overall, the Grizzlies offensively rank 21st in the NBA in overall points per possession, according to Synergy, 0.942 points per possession. But the Grizzlies, that drops down to 0.91 in the half-court game. But the Grizzlies are actually one of the better transition teams. They're ninth in transition, 1.132 points per possession, shooting 53% from the field and 61% effective field goal percentage. That includes three-point shooting into the mix when you throw in the transition element. So it's pretty good. They need to you know, do that a little bit more because they don't have a lot of transition by comparison to the rest of the league. Now, in terms of the offense itself, half-court offense, what do the Grizzlies do? 19.5% of the time, the possession ends in a spot-up shot. That's, you know, most teams kind of have that as their number one play type just because of the way that offenses usually end up working. And the Grizzlies are 24th in spot shooting, averaging 37% from the field on all spot-up shots, 48% effective field goal percentage. Again, that is well below average, and that is still a problem even with the increase in Marcus Gasol's ability to spot up in Mike Conley. You know, he doesn't get a chance to do it as often just because of the nature of what he does, but you know, they are that is an area where they're just not great. They're better at the next play type, pick and roll, the ball handler offense, so whoever the small is in the pick and roll, who's got the ball, generally small, not always, but whoever's handling the ball, if it's his offense, then that's the second. That happens 13.5% of the time. Grizzlies averaging 0.876 points per possession on those. 0.951 was the spot up, by the way. And so that's actually fewer points per possession, but it's a much better rank because the offense that the pick and roll ball handler gets is not as generally as successful or as efficient as some of the others. But the Grizzlies shoot 40% on those situations and 46% effective field goal percentage. One of the interesting approaches there is that for Mike Conley, especially if people go under screens on his pick and roll, he is deadly. One of the best in the league, 58% from three in those situations. Next up is the post-up. That's 12% of the Grizzlies' offense, 0.916 points per possession. Most of this is Marcus Gasol, 47% field goal percentage in the posts. That ranks 12th, which is good. That's slightly above the norm. Their next is transition. That's 10.5% of the time. As I mentioned earlier, they are 9th overall in transition, shooting 53%. Next up is the roll man in the pick and roll. So whoever the screener is, rolling in whatever their offense is, the ball goes to them. If they finish, that's the roll man. 21st out of the 30 NBA teams. 0.981 points per possession, 46% from the field, 49% effective field goal percentage, so a few threes thrown in there. Isolation is next. We talked about that in the context of Will Barton, and this is where the Grizzlies really struggle. They are 29th in isolation, 0.788 points per possession, shooting 37%. You know, getting a good isolation player wouldn't be a bad idea at all, because that is where the Grizzlies' offense really bogs down, and you can see in those situations they just don't have guys that create very much there. 7% of the offense then comes from cuts to the basket, and they are 28th in cut efficiency. Still good points per possession, 1.11 points per possession, 57.5% from the field. It's just that that ranks even lower. Most of the time, the cuts are even more effective than that. 6.7% of the time, offensive rebounds and putbacks on those. Grizzlies are 25th efficiency there, 1.014 points per possession, 49.6% from the field. So those sound good, but again, compared to the rest of the league, they are below average. Grizz come off screens, 4 shots, 5.5% of the time. This is something they are okay at, 16th. The 0.95 points per possession, 38% from the field, and 47% from the effective field goal percentage. So quite a few threes mixed in there. Then on handoffs, that's 3.4% of the time. They are 10th in dribble handoffs, 0.967 points per possession. And then the rest is miscellaneous. And that just is where you can't really categorize what happens with the play. That's just weird stuff that goes on. So that is where the Grizzlies get their offense from. That to delve into these even more specifically, I mentioned that the spot-up shot is the number one thing the Grizzlies do. The best spot-up shooter for the Grizzlies is... I'll wait for you. Mike Conley. Mike Conley, not a surprise, 1.139 points per possession in spot-up shooting. You know who's second? Vince Carter, 1.119 points per possession. That is not far away from Mike Conley at all. And third is Mark Gasol, who is the most prolific spot shooter that the Grizzlies have. Second most prolific, interestingly enough, is Jamichael Green. Mike Conley's fifth overall in the number of spot attempts that he gets. And that's a little bit surprising, and it kind of tells you that the Grizzlies need to reorganize that offense just a little bit. But Mark is still very good, 1.062. Jamichael Green gets a bunch as well, and he's okay, 1.02, a little bit off of Mark's number. James Ennis, also very good at it. So the Grizzlies, you know, they have those top guys are all pretty good to very good at spot-up shooting. Mark, Jamichael, Vince, Ennis, and Conley. But then the wheels come off after that. And, you know, you get 7.5% spot-up from Tony Allen. Nope. Well below average. Zach Randolph, well below average in spot shooting. Troy Daniels, believe it or not, is just merely average. He's made so many threes, but his overall field goal percentage is 33% on spot-up jump shots. For Troy Daniels, that's part of the reason why you don't see him play as much. You know, Chandler Parsons, this is where you know you really want to see him excel in a spot-up shooting situation. This year, not happening. 0.847 points per possession, well below average, 30% from the field in those situations. And no one else is much better. I mean, you know, you've got Jarrell, Troy Williams, Wade Baldwin, Tony Douglas is merely okay, 0.938, a little better than Parsons, but not quite as good as Troy Daniels. And the worst of the bunch is Andrew Harrison at 0.688 points per possession, 24% on those shots. 24%. Woo! Now, for the pick-and-roll ball handler, Mike Conley clearly is the number one guy on this front. Andrew Harrison is number two. Huge difference between the two. Mike Conley's offense, the pick-and-roll, 44%, 0.942 points per possession. Andrew Harrison, 0.722 points per possession, 29.6% from the field. Vince Carter's third pick-and-roll ball handler. Wade Baldwin, fourth. Troy Daniels, fifth. And this is where Troy Daniels is the most efficient player in the NBA, pick-and-roll ball handler. Now, he just doesn't have enough to really feel great about that as a sample size, but technically he is the number one most efficient guy, 1.511 points per possession. Very impressive. Chandler Parsons has done it a few times, 35 possessions, in fact, as the pick and, as the ball handler in pick and roll, where he's gotten his offense, and that offense has not been very good, 21% from the field. And Tony Douglas has done a nice job shooting 43% in these situations. So he's done well. Now to the post, of course, Marc Gasol is responsible for half of the Grizzlies' post-ups. Zach Randolph is responsible for 34%. So between them, 84% of the post-ups are Mark and Zach. But while Mark is .981 and one of the better ones in the league in that regard, shooting 49%, Zach Randolph, his post-game has struggled a little bit, .819, shooting 43%. In those situations, and that places him well below the norm, well below average even, for the rest of the league. Jermichael Green, .897 points per possession. He is third, but again, those guys are way behind Mark and Zach. The Grizzlies, the rest of the Grizzlies, you know, post up far, 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 far less frequently than Mark and Zach. I mentioned transition's very good for the Grizzlies. Tony Allen is the number one finisher in transition for the Grizzlies in terms of at least the amount of time he actually does it. And he is, it will not surprise you to find out, just sort of okay. 1.03 points per possession, shooting 59% from the field in transition, but also turning it over quite a bit, and just generally not being all that great. Mike Conley really has struggled in transition. He's pulled up for a fair few jump shots, but he shoots 37% in transition, which is way low, .955 on the points per possession. So that's been an area of concern, you know, for him. The rest of the Grizzlies, it goes Ennis, Gasol, Jermichael, Andrew, Troy Williams, then Troy Daniels, and on down the line. Those are the guys that have finished in transition for the Grizzlies. It's been very productive, except for Mike Conley. It's been very productive. Now, in terms of the roll man, pick and roll, Marc Gasol gets the vast majority of this on the offensive end with pick and pops and all the things that he does. 57% of the time that this happens, it happens for Marc Gasol, and he's very good. 1.044 points per possession, 47% from the field on pick and roll plays, whether it's pick and pops or dives the basket or what have you. So, you know, that's good. Brandon Wright, in case you are curious about this, shooting 55% himself, 1.048, very similar to Mark in terms of points per possession for Brandon Wright. But very small samples. Again, we're talking just getting back into the mix really over the last week and a half or so. So you don't have a lot of data on Brandon Wright in that situation. Best isolation player for the Grizzlies. Best one is actually, well, it's hard to tell with samples. Again, you have to have at least a decent sample size. Mike Conley is the best one with a decent sample size. And he's shooting 43% in those situations. Zach Randolph is the most common ISO guy for the Grizzlies. That's probably not a shock either. 23% of the time it's Zach, and he does not do it well. 0.661 points per possession, 21st percentile in the NBA, 37% from the field. So work very much still left to do to get better there. And that's, you know, that's the area where we mentioned the Grizzlies are really poor in that spot. That's probably their poorest stat overall is the isolation one. They just don't have guys that can really do it anymore. Zach could back in the day, and you know, Mike Conley is capable of anything, especially you know, late in games. But yeah, they don't have the guy on that one. So that's a little look into what the Grizzlies do offensively and some of the ways guys rank in that. If you have a specific request, please feel free to fire it off to me, especially on Twitter. That's the easiest way to get in touch, at Peter Edmiston. But you know, you can do email and all that stuff, and I'll talk about here. You know, coming up, you can get in touch with me, but that would be great. If you have any other requests or anything that you want to know about it, then let me know. That'd be great. Also, want to send the best to Marc Gasol as he competes down in the All-Star game for the Western Conference and, of course, for the Grizzlies in the city of Memphis. It is a great honor. I've written about Marc in the Commercial Appeal today, so I think you're going to want to check that out about, you know, some of the statistical stuff that's happened with him. In particular, I mentioned the spot-up shooting. His spot-up shooting has grown by leaps and bounds. It's a huge jump that he's had over the course of this season. So credit to him, and I wish him all the best on Sunday down in New Orleans. Even though his game doesn't really translate to the All-Star game, I would love to see him throw some of those passes, hit some deep threes, do all those things that you know he's capable of doing. That would be a lot of fun to watch him do it in the All-Star game. Congratulations again goes out to Marc for that honor. Thanks so much for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies. As always, you can check me out 7 to 10, Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Check out Numbers Game in the Commercial Appeal. And you can check us out on Facebook as well. Search for Locked On Grizzlies or go to facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. For those of you, of course, that are big fans of the podcast, let me tell you something. This is a great spot for your company. If you want to reach men between the ages of 18 and 54, this is the place for your audiences. And here's something to consider. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to think seriously about purchasing products they learned about from podcasts. 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable. Please shoot me an email, peter@peteredmiston.com. Shoot me a tweet @PeterEdmiston or a direct message, something like that. We can get all the information out to you. I'd love to have you on the podcast, become part of our family, and reach all those great folks out there that are listening. Thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.